Today I will be reading from Elijah chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for work of service, so that the body of Christ may build up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back, and then we will no forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up until him who is head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good to be with you all this morning. I'm glad to be here. Let's see if this works. Perfect. Hopefully I won't be looking back all morning. There's a thing over there. I see that now. Very good. Thank you for having me here. I'm sorry I'm not Calvin. My name is Tim. I'm from Rapid City. And I'm happy to be able to be here. I was actually supposed to come in July, but I guess I'm going to... I don't know what you'd call it. I'm an overachiever. I came early. So better early than late, right? I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me. I hope that my message is encouraging to you this morning. I called Calvin Monday last week, and I said, "Hey, what should I preach about? What do you guys need out here in faith?" And we talked for probably 2 hours, and I came up with a good idea. And then I talked to Calvin again on Saturday, or I guess it was Friday morning. And he said, "Hey, would you mind swapping with me?" And I said, "Okay, yeah, be great." So this is for faith. I'm just kidding. I think this applies to just about everybody in the world. So it'll be hopefully encouraging to you as well. It's good to be with you, and I'd encourage you. I remember hearing a lesson. I actually went to this seminar, Polishing the Pulpit, over in Tennessee one time, and there was a preacher, and he was talking about being impactful as a preacher, and he said, "Preaching is this. Preaching is a human personality delivering God's immutable, unchangeable, perfect word to people with the desired result of changing those people's lives. That's the purpose why we get up here every week. It's to change somebody's life, okay? It's not just to fill a time slot. I know some people see it that way. This is you don't have a clock. You guys are in trouble. Oh, there it is. Me. No excuse. It is 11:15. Actually, 14 and a half. But it's not just to fill a time slot. So ultimately, I don't have any power. You have 100% of the power in this room here to take what I say and to use it to change your life, or to disregard it and to go on being who you are. And I hope that you'll allow the message today to help you in some way. Now, with that said, This is actually the theme for the year in Rapid City that we're going by, Choose to Grow. And we sat down, Ozzy and I, my co-worker did, to decide what were we going to teach for the year. And we've coordinated our Bible classes and sermons based upon this idea. And my thinking has been changed recently. I came across this book back in November as I was preparing for a different lesson, and I'd heard about an idea where there are two different types of mindsets that people have. And on the one hand, you have a mindset that is called a fixed mindset. This is from a lady named Carol Dweck. She's a professor of psychology at Columbia University, I believe. But she wrote this book in 2007. It's called Mindset. Anyway, that's where this book got me to thinking. There's two different ways of looking at the world, two different mindsets that people have. The one hand says, you have what you were born with. So either you are born with it or you're not. And it applies to everything. So either you're an athlete and you're really good at sports and you're going to be good, or you're a nerd and you're not going to be good. But maybe you have a high intellect and you're able to learn and comprehend things well and you're very intelligent. And maybe you're just average, you know, and you're like the rest of us who struggles to learn and does the best that they can. Or maybe you're really artistic, you know, and you can paint beautiful paintings or sing beautifully or draw, you know, or whatever artists do, mold things out of clay. Maybe you can do that. And this mindset would say that you were given those gifts, those talents at birth. And there's very little that you can do to adopt them if you didn't develop them, I guess, prenatally, so to speak. So on the other hand is a mindset that says your whole life is a growing experience. So whether or not you are gifted at athletics or art or music or finance or whatever it is, that you, by effort and study, can grow exponentially in any area. And I thought to myself, as I'm reading the introduction to this book, of course, that I have a growth mindset. I believe that people can improve in everything they do, no matter what. And then she threw out this hypothetical situation, and it went something like this. Say you're in high school, and you've just taken a test, a math test, and it's a midterm. And you come back, and you get your score the next day, and you got a C+. And so you leave the class and you go out to your vehicle and you get in and you realize, oh, there's a parking ticket on the vehicle. And you think, man, how could this happen? You know, two things in one day. And then you think, I'm gonna pick up the phone or the pointer and I'm gonna call my best friend and, you know, tell them how, you know, my day's just been not fun, got a bad grade, got a parking ticket. You call your best friend, and this person just says, well, I'm sorry, I really can't talk right now, I'm busy, I'll have to call you tomorrow. And so then you think, oh, now I get blown off by my best friend. And she asks the question, how would you feel? How would you feel after experiencing this? And this was a test, basically, to determine what type of mindset you had. So she asked these different people, how would you feel? And some people said, you know, I feel like a terrible loser. I got a C, I got a parking ticket, I'd be mad at the cop, I'd be, you know, mad at my friend, think she doesn't care about me or he doesn't care about me. About half, maybe more than half of the people actually said stuff like that. You know, it would reflect upon who I am as a person. The other half said, well, I guess I would study more, you know, to get a better grade next time. And I'd be more careful about where I parked. And I would probably call my friend the next day and assume that they had, you know, some kind of problem. As I was reading this, and I thought to myself, I'm a loser because I got this grade. And she said, the people that think that have what's called a fixed mindset. Everything that happens to you in life is attributed to who you are as a person because you believe that every quality and every skill and every talent you have was born with. You were born with. On the other hand, the people that said, well, I would just, you know, be more careful how I talk, or I would study harder or differently next time. And I would assume, you know, the best of my friend would call and clarify and make sure they don't, you know, have a problem in their life. These people had a growth mindset that says, it doesn't matter what situation comes up in my life. It doesn't determine who I am as a person. My level of effort determined why I got a C on a test, because I didn't try hard enough. And my unintentional, or maybe intentional, bad parking caused me to get a parking ticket because I broke the law. And people have bad days. Maybe my friend, you know, gets busy. So there's a difference in mindset here. People with a growth mindset tend to excel at lots of things
because they don't see setbacks and failure as a detriment to their purpose. That's a word. And this is a complex subject, and I debated whether or not I should try to go into this to give you a little background of where I'm going in the lesson this morning. But I believe this has a vast spiritual application. The way we see ourselves in view of God, in view of His Scriptures, must be seen in a growth attitude. We have to look at ourselves as people who are supposed to constantly be growing. Open up to Genesis chapter 1. You're very familiar with this. I'm confident that you are. Genesis chapter 1. The beginning of everything. God gives a purpose statement for mankind when He decides to create us in His image. This purpose statement is in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, 27, and 28. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created man in His image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created him. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky, over every living thing that moves along the earth." God, in His very first statement about man, tells us, number one, who you are. He said, "I'm going to make you. You're going to be made like me." Male and female, not just Adam, okay? Male and female in the image of God. We're made in the image of the one who owns the universe, the one who created and sustains everything. This gives us a great deal of purpose, doesn't it? Just knowing that one thing should tell us we're important. Much more so than the trees and the water and all the things that people spend millions and millions of dollars trying to save every year, neglecting the most important part of that. Now, God gives a purpose in His assignment of our identity. And the purpose doesn't really begin to display itself until there's a conflict, okay? Adam and Eve are made in the image of God, and they exist with God in the Garden of Eden for a time, I don't know how long, but there's a great harmony, isn't there? And you can see after the fall, after they sin, after there's a conflict, that God goes looking for man, doesn't He? And it says in the cool of the day, it appears as though God knew to walk with His people in the cool of the day. In my mind, picture this romantic image, you know, of a father walking with his children in the garden, and they're telling him all the cool stuff. "God, you wouldn't believe this apple I found today that you made. It's so cool, and I needed this. And this different fruit that was over here that I tried, and it was amazing." You know, their just mind is blown every day by the amazing things God has made for them and done for them, right? Well, what happens in this image? You see, they've been given something to not do. One thing, just one thing. Don't do this. They did it. You know they did it. And it's at this moment that everything changes for Adam and Eve. That everything changes for mankind. From this point forward, mankind has a different purpose. And you know what that purpose is? It's to recover the broken image of God in their own. Because they were perfect, and they were just exactly like God in the way that He intended them. And sin. And He broke that perfect image. And God could no longer let them be in His presence. He had to remove them from the garden. He had to place a guard there to keep Himself holy and centered. And from that moment forward, the purpose of mankind was no longer to just exist with God in harmony. The purpose became to reunite with God. But not only to reunite, to become like God again. Now, I thought about asking you the introductory question, what's our purpose as Christians? What's our purpose as Christians? A lot of times people say, well, our purpose is to share the gospel with the lost world. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. That's our purpose, right, as Christians, is to take what we know and to share it with someone else. And I don't want to downplay the great commission at all. I think it's primary. However, the most important thing that we're given to do is to become like God. This is how we end up in heaven. Heaven isn't the end goal. I don't want you to think that. I've heard a lot of people say, what's our purpose? Well, let's get to heaven, right? And to take as many people as we can with us. That's what that long time. That was one of the biggest things in the church of the world. But that's not the primary. That's a byproduct of the primary. The primary is that we become like God. God intended us. He planned and designed us to be like Him. And we, through our own choice, broke that. We broke it. We chose to be not like God. And our goal as Christians is to fulfill that. God expects everyone to grow. He expects us to grow. And Romans chapter 8, verse 28, we're all very familiar with, where we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, right? Who are called according to His purpose. But what does verse 29 say? Those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the law, conformed to the church building, to the pew, conformed to the kind of seat that they made after years of sitting in the same spot. Conformed to what? To the image of His Son. God predetermined that those who love Him should be conformed to become like Him. Yes. That was the purpose from the beginning. And this is why Jesus had to come into the world, so that we could see what God looks like in the flesh. You see Jesus walking around here with Philip in John chapter 14. He says, Jesus, if you just show us the Father, that'll be good enough. And He says, have you been with me so long, yet you have not come to know me? If you have seen me, you've seen the Father. This is why I came, Philip. So you could see what God really looks like, what God really values, who God really is. And you could understand it in the way that you think as a human being. Right? This is our primary goal as Christians. Our primary goal as Christians is to become like Christ. Guess what? The byproduct of that. Seeking and saving the lost. Isn't that what Jesus said? This is why I came, to seek and save the lost. Isn't heaven a byproduct of that? Yeah, because the reason you can't be there is because you're imperfect, but when becoming like Christ, you end up. This is why it becomes a primary. If I become like Christ, guess what I do? I think like Jesus. I value people the way Jesus values people. It transcends every area of your life. But sometimes we're so focused on one good thing. You know, maybe it's the Great Commission. Maybe that's all we focus on. Maybe we're focused on, you know, making sure that we're able to take the Lord's Supper every week. Or maybe we're focused on doing good service for people. And we say, this has got to be the most important thing. We've got to feed the hungry. We've got to clothe the naked. But if our primary is not God's primary, we miss it. We miss the big thing. Becoming like Christ involves all those other things as well. But if my goal every morning, this is what we talk about in Bible class, how do you get ready for the day? Do you get up and say, this morning I want to be a little bit more like Jesus than I was yesterday? A little bit more like Jesus at my job. A little bit more like Jesus with my family. A little bit more like Jesus with the strangers I never met. If my goal is to be one step closer to Jesus today than I was yesterday, I'm thinking with the growth mindset. But here's the problem. When we read verses like, turn over to Matthew chapter 5. You're familiar with the Sermon on the Mount, correct? therefore you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is. Let me say this. If this is your goal, if your goal is to be perfect because this verse says you need to be perfect, guess what you're going to do? You're going to live in despair. Why? Because you're not perfect. And you're not going to be perfect. Now, this should be our goal, right? To become perfect as He is perfect. But our realistic goal is to say, I want to grow to be perfect. I want to grow one step today to be more like Jesus than I was yesterday. I'm not going to be perfect, okay? God doesn't expect us to be perfect because He's realistic in His expectation. He knew Jesus was going to the cross before He made the world. He knows us. He knows us inside out. And He understands what we're capable of any better than we do. But I think the heart that God desires is the heart that says, I want it. And sometimes what we do is we say, well, the end result is perfect like Jesus is perfect, so I'm going to try and fake that in front of everybody else so they'll think I've got it. I want to act like that in front of all the people that know me so they think, oh, he's very holy. Very righteous. That they've got you. Don't tell them your sins because he's perfect. Sometimes we play church and we think this is what it's all about. It's all about looking the part. That's not what it's about. You see, this is the fixed mindset coming through that says, well, I've got to look right because if I don't look right, that means I'm not right. Well, guess what? Let's get over that, all right? Everybody knows already. We all know that we're all busted and broken. And we all need Jesus, okay? So pretending like we're perfect isn't helping anybody. You're just lying to yourself. No. Secondly, you have to choose. You've got to make the choice. Oh, that's a there you go. You have to make the choice to grow. Okay, it doesn't happen magically or on accident. This is something that you must choose to do every day. Now, interestingly enough, if you look at nature, all babies start out with cool. They don't have any shoes. They're not in fairness. Nothing they do is attributed to who they are. Everything is exciting, it's an adventure, and they're trying the best they can. My daughter, she tries to walk, she grabs on the stuff, and she doesn't know. She doesn't care. She's happy to come crawling over here right now. She doesn't care that you're laughing at her. Can you imagine you doing the same thing? You say, go for it, but I think I'm a moron crawling on the ground like that. You see, we attribute everything to who we are. Babies don't care. They have a growth mindset built into them from God, from birth. And that allows them to learn immense amounts of things in such a short amount of time. I mean, they learn language, they learn motor skills, they learn everything in such a like that. And how long does it take you to learn a language? In French? It didn't happen, did it? Me neither. No. No, why? Well, because they don't care. The consequences don't matter to them. All they care about is the growth. We need to adopt the attitude of the child here and say, what I'm about is growing. What I'm about is becoming like Jesus today. In whatever way I'm faced with, regardless of what it looks like, turn over to Hebrews chapter 2 with me. God is not going to make you grow, okay? He's not going to make you grow. And you're not going to grow by accident. You know what happens on accident? Nothing. Nothing happens on accident. Okay? Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, the writer of Hebrews says, for this reason we must pay much closer attention to what we've heard so that we don't what? That we don't drift away. You know what happens by accident? When you're not paying attention, you drift. You don't stay constant. You don't stay steady. You don't grow to this point and say, you know what? I'm just going to forget about everything I did and sit here for a while. So what happens is you decline. You decline. when you don't pay attention. You get fined when you don't apply effort. And the same things, you know, they happen spiritually. You ever, anybody in here ever done Bible bowl? You got to go through a whole book of the Bible or a couple of books of the Bible sometime. Did you learn every rhetorical question that Paul asked in the book of Romans and whatever, you know, things happen? How long does it take for you to begin to forget all this? Just that long, right? Why? You know, I went to college to become a physical therapist. I don't remember any of that. Nothing. You know, I was talking to a guy who's a PTA, and we were talking about his daughter's broken bones or leg or femur, and there's this pain that I vaguely, like this memory, popped into my brain. Like, I remember that pain. We're looking at the x-ray. I'm like, there's a name for that. I don't know what it is. I knew at one point. You see, what happens when you don't apply yourself to something is you don't stay the same, okay? You don't stay the same. And if I'm not applying myself to growing to be like Jesus, you know what's going to happen? I'm not going to stay the same. Every day that I'm not applying myself is a day that I move further from Jesus. Every day that I don't choose to grow is a day that I decline. There you go. If you're not choosing to apply yourself to grow, you're shrinking. Your image of God is shrinking. This is something that we have to think about. It's something that we need to be invested in. God expects everyone to grow, but He's only going to bring you so far. Okay? It can only happen if we apply ourselves. You're going to choose to be like Jesus a little more. And sometimes that may mean an immense sacrifice. Okay, I'm not saying it's an easy thing to do. Jesus' life wasn't an easy life to live. I mean, He was basically a babbling, vagrant preacher that was rejected in half the places He went, all the people that should have received and didn't. He's constantly being challenged and trying to be humiliated by the religious elite of the day, the people that should have been standing up for Him, saying, He's talking about what we've studied our whole life. Well, it wasn't an easy one. But He chose. Jesus is the epitome of the growth mindset. Regardless of what anything else, what anyone else said around Him, He maintained His purpose. He maintained His direction. And He didn't allow those things to affect who He was as a person. Look at the cross. What is Jesus' comment from the cross? It's not, bring vengeance. Avenge me, Father, for I have been killed. I am, you know, unjustly crucified. What's His name? His Father forgive them. Because they don't know. That's not an easy thing to say. Okay. I'm going to keep this short. We have got to choose to grow. If you want to grow to be like Christ, you have got to choose His way in everything. You've got to choose His will in your life. And that means all areas, not just when church people see you, okay? The fixed mindset's worried about how everybody else perceives what we do, okay? The person who's worried about growth does not care how it looks to anyone else. They say, you know what? I'm trying to grow, so maybe I look stupid. I don't care. Maybe you think I'm weird. I don't care. Because what I'm trying to do is be like Jesus. It doesn't matter to me what anybody else thinks. It doesn't matter to me. And this is important because a lot of times we're so worried about everybody else judging us for everything we do that we don't do anything. We think if I try something, this person and that person and this person is going to say all this stuff. They're going to judge me. They're going to think I'm doing this for the wrong reasons. And we do nothing. Listen, we have to forget about all of that and say, I don't care. It may be perceived the wrong way, but I know in my heart of hearts why I'm doing this. I know I'm doing it because I want to grow. I want to exhibit Christ in my life. I want to be more like Him. The naysayers are going to be there. Always. Always. Choosing to grow means I choose to overlook that so that I can make sure that I'm doing what I know pleases God in my life. And let me tell you what. God honors His promises, doesn't He? And if we are seeking to do God's will in our life, He's going to bless our efforts. If I want God's will done in my life, He's going to bless me. You got like something in your eyes stuck in my throat here. Now, the idea behind this entire lesson is God has a purpose in mind for us. And that purpose is not for us to stay stagnant. It's not for us to be content where we are. Okay? A lot of times we get to baptism and we think, all right, I got baptized. I'm good forever. And then that's the beginning. It's not the end. Okay, that's the moment where you are united with Jesus so that you can begin to become like Him. And that's the point where you should be at very least like Jesus. That you'll never be in the rest of your Christian walk. Oh, beautiful. Thank you. Cancels are different. Clear period. You gotta be good. Okay. I'm going to draw this to a close. Sorry for taking up 30 minutes here. Thomas said he usually does 20-25. Was that dishonest? I'm going to have a word with Thomas. I want you, if you don't hear anything else this morning, I want you to hear this. God has a purpose for you, okay? And His purpose to you to grow to be like God. Okay, we're all in different places in our walk and our place in this world to become like Christ. And don't look at anybody else and say, well, you know, he's a lot closer to Jesus than I am. Just look at the Christ and say, I don't want to be like that. I don't care if anybody else is better off already than I am. I don't care if anybody else is worse off than I am, because most of the time what we do is we look at the person behind and the person in front and we say, well, I'm better than that guy. Okay? At least I'm better than him. And when we do that, we put him down, we kind of lift ourselves up. What we need to be doing is looking to the cross and saying, that's what I want to be, and I'm not doing that. Okay? We can't ever say that we're already there. Don't say that. Please don't say that. Okay? What you do then is you say, God, I'm just the same as you. And I don't know how God likes me. Honestly, I don't think He did. I don't think He likes me. This morning, if you are sitting here stagnant in your life, thinking, well, I am who I am, listen, God didn't intend you to be who you ain't. He intended you to be like Him. From the very beginning, from the day that you were conceived, God said, this is another child of mine that I love, and I can't wait to see her. Isn't that what you want to see as parents? You see that little baby, and you think, what's this baby going to be like? You know, I hope they're fantastic. I hope they do all these great things, you know, and change the world. Nobody thinks, man, I hope they don't do anything with their life and they're so afraid they never try. It's not what God wants from us. This is an easy lesson, okay? I've made it more complicated than it is. You have a purpose, and it's yourself yesterday and say, how am I going to improve on that? How am I going to do better today than I did yesterday? And then look at Jesus and say, oh, that's how. Okay? Look at what he did and how he dealt with people. It's going to take a little bit of time. You're going to have to try a little bit. You're going to have to work at it. You're going to have to work at it for the rest of your life. But it's the most noble effort you can make. It's the best thing you can do. Is trying to be made. Trying to restore that image. You guys do invitations here? We do invitations at Rapid Valley, now West Main. And if you need to respond to an invitation, we're having an invitation song. I forgot the number, but it doesn't matter. It's number 924. I pray this morning that you will choose to go, that you will choose to become like Jesus. If you need to respond, if you say to yourself, you know what, I'm sitting here and I've been a bum. And I need people's help. I need the church's help. Hey, that's what we're for. Okay? We're to help each other go, not to discourage each other. This should not be a walk of shame to come down to the front and say, oh, I've sinned. I need the prayers and the help of the church. Okay? That's why we're here. We all know that you sin because we all sin. There's no shame in that. Jesus died for every one of us. So if you need to respond, respond. I don't know how you do that here. Talk to Dave. Talk to Alan. Talk to me.